Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. Back with me, of course, is the great Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the king of the cocks. What's up, my brother? I say excited sometimes to get into these shows. I am bewildered to get into the show today. I don't know what's happening in the world anymore, but how are you?
It's so much fun that like people just find these clips and put them on Twitter. This job's getting easier in a good way.
But I'm not sure it's in a good way. I think the world is getting too goofy that it's harder for us to just mock. Like there's got to be some level of seriousness to the world. And then we add a goofy twist onto it. And then you're like, oh, see what they did? They kind of made this funny. But now it's just the thing is such a joke already. I don't even know what to say. There's a bunch. You'll understand as we get into it on the show today what we've got prepared for you guys, that it's just like this is like we're living in a simulation of some kind. I don't even know. I don't know what the fuck's going on. A recession doesn't mean recession anymore. A vaccine doesn't mean vaccine anymore. A woman doesn't mean woman anymore. Everything's just as goofy as you could imagine that. Like they just told you like a few years ago. It's just like sometimes I look at the world today and I think that it's like a trading places type of bet was wagered by billionaires that were like, you know, I bet I could have them wearing masks in pools. Well, I bet I could convince them that they don't know what a woman is. And then some other billionaire was like, there's no way you could do that.
That's a great joke. Are you working on that?
Yeah, I've said it a couple other times.
It's great.
It's not bad. Yeah, I might take it to stage. Anyway, I already gave it to my whole podcast audience, so we'll see what I can fucking build. I got to build something better on that now.
Nah, you'll find the tags. No, that's great. It's like that makes perfect sense for the people in power just seeing to what degree they can fuck with us. And sadly, everyone's just going with it, so they're going to have to keep, you know what I mean? It's like any other addiction. Yeah. Like, where are they going to push that next?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it really is. It's very, whatever. It's very bizarre.
I bet I can get them to boost their kids.
Yeah, I bet I could get them to vaccinate their 6-month-old against something that he's not at risk for. God, is it weird. Anyway, so there's a bunch of goofy stuff that we're going to make fun of on today's show. Before we get into that, I want to almost... See, here's an idea that I have too. Maybe this will be a full podcast that we'll do at some point. We're going to do the portion that I have planned here, but I'm thinking about this. This might be a full podcast that we do. It might even be a 2 or 3-parter thing, but I think maybe we should conduct the trial of Anthony Fauci. Since he should be tried for crimes against humanity and he's never going to be, maybe we should just conduct the trial and show what an overwhelming, conclusive case we have that this guy is like an evil piece of shit. And look, I know that he's only one guy in a network of guys in a cabal, you know, but man, this guy was really put out there as the face of the fucking pandemic. And it's been unbelievable, just this process of seeing like how this guy who called himself, you know, like the, you know, Dr. Truth Science, as we called him, but he said, anyone who disagrees with me is really just disagreeing with science, how he has been proven to be just so not only just dead wrong, but that all of his policies have brought nothing but destruction, and that he's been demonstrated to be such a liar throughout the whole thing. It's not a matter of just being wrong about things, but that he's such a fucking piece of shit. I think we could do like a whole thing where we just fucking tear him apart with all the evidence.
I love this idea, because I was actually thinking about putting together something called They Lied to Us, but I think it fits this better. Let's make a pay-per-view. Let's run our Corona jokes, make a pay-per-view experience, get some guests, and do the trial of Anthony Fauci.
I really kind of like this. Okay, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to put it together. We're going to make it a live event. All right? That's a great idea. We'll make it a pay-per-view live event and make a whole thing. We'll hold that a whole fucking like trial of Anthony Fauci. And then then the ball's in his court to respond to us. okay. So, and then you go, if you care to come present your defense, open invite anytime on the podcast. So something has kind of changed. And of course, things have been changing. This has been a continuum, but I really think something changed. Of course, there was a long, Fauci went from being on TV every day for a long time. And then he kind of like went away from the spotlight for a while, and he'd start making random appearances. Then, of course, he got COVID hilariously. I'm sorry. It is just hilarious that he got COVID being double vaccinated and double boosted and still getting it. It's pretty funny. And then he took the Paxlovid. What's it called? Am I saying that right? And then got a rebound infection. I was like, every inch of it was just so funny. But there were a couple appearances that I saw of his in the last 3 days that were different. There was something about these that were different than what I've seen from him before. And I want to take a look at a couple clips from these appearances and talk about, you know, there's something as the guy who was the face of this, you know, not just the face of the pandemic, but particularly of the face of the response to the pandemic, the face of the COVID regime, the guy who was up there telling you, no, this is all on my authority. And I'm the epidemiologist who's going to tell you that this is why we are following the science and all of this shit. It's very interesting to watch him
run backwards.
Yes. Yeah. Not just have like a little bit of the wind taken out of his sails, but seem shook and completely defeated, and now lying in a more sloppy way than he was even lying before. So, okay, first clip, let's pull it up. Here was Fauci on Fox News being questioned. Oh, I'm sorry. This was on CNN. My apologies.
Subjects here. Senator Rand Paul, a Republican, and some Republicans are talking about what they might do if they retake the House or the Senate in the fall. Senator Rand Paul says of the Republicans, if they retake the House, one way or another, if we are in the majority, we will subpoena your records, and he will testify in the Senate under oath. Your reaction to Rand Paul and others saying they're going to investigate you if they take power?
Well, there's no reason to do that, but if they want to go ahead, my records are an open book. They are talking about things that are really bizarre, John, like crimes against democracy by shutting down the government. All I have ever done, and go back and look at everything I've ever done, was to recommend common sense, good CDC recommended public health policies that have saved millions of lives. If you want to investigate for me for that, go ahead.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, appreciate you being with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
So critical economic reports will.
So listen, There's a few things there that were really interesting. I'm going to start with Fauci's body language and kind of like posture at the very end of that interview. I've never seen him look more concerned in an interview. And understand that when they say that, look, you have this very influential, maybe isn't the right word. I don't know if Rand Paul's that influential, but a very well-known senator, you know, who's saying, if we take back the House and the Senate, we are going to investigate this guy. And let's get real. The Republicans are going to take back the House and the Senate. That's going to happen in a few months. So this is a reality. Now, of course, as I've said so many times on this show, Rob, too many times to count, that when Republicans say, well, gosh darn it, we're going to investigate, that means nothing. Nothing will come of this. But it's enough that if you're someone like Fauci, this could shake you up a little bit. This could spook you. And you see that this does kind of spook him. And so that in itself is interesting. The second thing that I'll say, I'm building on what the most important things are here. The second thing I'll say is that it is, man, this really shows the value in what Rand Paul did over these last 2 years. That, you know, it might seem like, hey, Rand Paul never really gets his way. I mean, yeah, he's railing against the deficits and the deficits just get bigger. And yeah, he's railing against the wars and the wars just get bigger. And I understand. It's like, I wish he had more power than he has. But this is how much he, Rand Paul, by standing up and really being the most aggressive, like, you know, person prosecuting the case against Fauci, how much he's controlled the conversation that now even CNN has to ask him these questions because they go, fuck, well, we have to have a response to this in some way. So it really shows you how important, like, changing the conversation, controlling like the narrative is. And third, and this is of course the most important thing there, you know, did Fauci just claim that he saved millions of people's lives? I mean, Rob, what a claim. Saved millions of people's lives. There is, let's just be clear on this, there is no scientific argument that any policy that Fauci has been advocating for has saved millions of people's lives. There's just no way you could get there. To scientifically argue that lockdowns saved millions of people's lives, I think all of the studies have indicated that if anything, it was a minimal amount, like a statistically irrelevant amount of people who were saved, and way more lives were cost by the lockdowns. This is like every study that's been done on this. There's no way you could argue that it saved millions. Could you argue that mask mandates? Could you argue that school closures? And then, I mean, Rob, are you really going to say the vaccines? The vaccine, I mean, the vaccine mandates? Did any of those say, there's just no conceivable way that you could possibly come up with a number in the millions. Even if you were going to be the most generous you could be with every single one of these policies he's recommended, there's just no way you could come up with a number in the millions. It's just impossible. I would challenge anyone to actually argue that case, that millions more people would have died. The overwhelming evidence seems to point toward the number of deaths from COVID would be no different if we had done none of this. And all that would have happened is that the economy wouldn't have been destroyed, inflation wouldn't be rampant, children wouldn't be falling behind in all these like fucking awful ways. But even if you could argue that, like, now there was on the margins, there were some lives saved, there's just simply no way you could come up with a number like of millions.
And if it was millions, isn't he saying that the CDC came up with those rules? I mean, it sounds like he's just a very well-paid mouthpiece. 950,000. See, these weren't his recommendations. He never said it.
Right. Well, this is this weird. It's when we're saving millions, Fauci gets credit for it. But when it's something that's very unpopular and was a disaster, well, that was just the CDC recommendation. That's kind of the way this game works. But isn't that a pretty incredible statement for him to make? And of course, it doesn't get like obvious follow-up question. Like, wait, how did you get to this number of millions?
I would think a million lives saved, if you were the god of science, you'd be able to accomplish those kind of things. So, you know, at least it's consistent with his earlier claims of being the god of science.
So, like, if you think about it, right, like, is the claim there that if we hadn't have had lockdowns and mask mandates or whatever else the fuck he's going to claim, that
I would have died twice.
Millions,
you gotta realize.
Yeah. Well, look, millions to save was the minimum number there would be 2 million, right? Because 2 million is millions if you put an S on the end of that, right? So is the claim that if we hadn't have had these policies that 2 million more people would have died? Wouldn't you just like to like push him on that? Like, where'd you come up with that number? That's a very large number. There's 2 million at minimum. 2 million more people would have died. I mean, I would just love for Dr. Truth Science, please, since all you do is follow the science, just please show me the scientific evidence that says that 2 million more people would have died. What would even indicate that that is within the realm of plausible? That 2 million more people would have died if hadn't been for what? What exactly? The lockdowns that John Hopkins has done studies on and said didn't save anyone, or you know, if they saved anyone, it was like completely irrelevant, the minuscule amount of people, and cost way more. And then you do that, you argue your best about that, and I'll argue what your policies cost. Because of course you can't just look at who was saved. You have to also look at who was, you know, destroyed by your policy. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, a brand new sponsor we're thrilled to have on board, which is Zapier. If you're trying to grow a business, you know your time is precious. So imagine if you could streamline those routine operations tasks that eat up your time, like lead management, employee onboarding, even customer support. That's what's awesome about Zapier. Zapier makes it easy to connect all of your apps, appointment routines, tasks, and streamline your processes, freeing up your time to prioritize customer and client needs. It's the power of automation made possible for everyone. Zapier makes it easy for anyone to get started with business automation. No coding required. Easily connect over 4,000 of the most popular apps businesses use every day, like Google Sheets, QuickBooks, Facebook, Google Ads, to automate almost any workflow imaginable. And with thousands of easy-to-use templates, you can get started fast. The average Zapier user saves over $10,000 in recovered time every year. No wonder over 1.8 million people and businesses use Zapier to streamline their work and find more time for what matters most to them. See for yourself while teams at Airtable, Dropbox, HubSpot, Zendesk, and thousands of other companies use Zapier every day to automate their business. Try Zapier free today at zapier.com/problem. That's zapier.com/problem. Go check it out. This is going to save your business time and money. You're going to love it. zapier.com/problem. All right, let's get back into the show. Anyway, very interesting to see Fauci in this position where his final question before he goes is, you know, because if you remember, Rob, it's quite a change from all of these interviews that he would do where he was just treated as a hero, just paraded out there as the one person who was above, you know, question. This Dr. Fauci, I mean, you may feel how you feel about Republicans or Democrats, but this guy is just giving you the science, and thank God we have him up there. And now his closing question is like, hey, so if what looks like is going to happen in November happens in November, looks like you might be charged. You might be investigated and charged. Got anything to say about that? And he's just like throwing out this insane. For he goes, well, I'm an open book. It's like, no, you're not really an open book though, dude. Let me see. Okay, if you're such an open book, let me see all of the fucking money that you've ever made from pharmaceutical companies. Please give me details of all of the fucking gain of function research that your institute ever funded. Like, if you, come on, if you're an open book, be an open book. So then to just say I'm an open book and I've saved millions of lives, it's like, wow, he's getting more desperate, more shook, and more sloppy than I've ever seen him before.
Before, this question would have been, hey, can you believe that piece of shit Rand Paul is doing something this shitty? And then Fauci would go, oh, it's unbelievable, that guy. The things he keeps saying to me in these meetings. It's, I don't know where he gets these ideas from. I'm just out here trying to keep everyone safe. And this Rand guy really throwing crazy shit out there. And they go, yeah, really is reckless. And then they would spin it. The articles would be Rand Paul saying crazy shit once again.
You remember that? You remember all of that shit? That's unbelievable. Okay, so let's move on to another clip of Fauci. So Fauci was on he was on this show called Rising, which the Hill.com puts up on their YouTube channel. This used to be the show it Crystal Ball and Segar and Jadi. I might be fucking up his name. I know I always fuck up his name, but he's great. They used to do this show. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a very good one. And now it's Robbie Suave and a lady whose name I'm blanking on.
Who, I like the Asian broad when
they do the show. Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. So I like Robbie a lot. He's worked for Reason Magazine for a long time. He's been on the podcast before, and he's you know,
can I trash him?
Yeah, you can if you want to. But he's look, what bugged me about this, I watched the whole interview. I recommend people go watch the whole interview. They at least did a good job of asking him some questions. Like, they weren't just there to kiss his ass, but it was like, ah, it was frustrating to watch the whole time that they wouldn't just take the gloves off, and they were a little bit too, like, they kept like thanking him and talking about what an honor it was that he was on there. And I don't know, maybe I just have a different like view of all this shit. I do not think you should feel like this guy who is, I mean, he is the main figure, and I'm not saying the main, look, he's not the most responsible. The people the most responsible are Trump and the you know, the blue state governors and Biden and like all the people who actually are, you know, like wield political power and the pharmaceutical companies, all the money interests behind them. But look, this guy has been the face. He's been, his role has been to get this over, right? To like, be like, well, look, I'm the guy giving you the justification for the worst crime perpetrated against the American people in my lifetime. And I don't think that the response when you talk to that guy should be to tell him what an honor it is to talk to him. And I don't think it should be to ask a somewhat tough question and then completely let him off the hook when he gives a complete bullshit answer and not follow it up with the obvious follow-up question. Like, there were so many times in this interview where he would just lie through his teeth. And then you're like, look, come on, just no, like, hold him, hold his feet to the fire on that. You know, a lot of times if you're interviewing someone, even if you, there's this thing that happens. I think I've broken this down before on the show, but there's this thing where people will interview somebody and ask seemingly tough questions with no follow-ups. And when you do that, in effect, whether it's your goal or not, in effect, what you end up doing is just giving them a platform to take on the tough questions and give their answers. So in other words, if you ask someone, I don't know, if you ask Fauci a question, a tough question, and then he just lies through his teeth, and then you go, okay, moving on. That's, you know, you need at least one more moment where you go, but sir, that's just not true. You know what I mean? Like, it's at least one more thing. And they never did that. They never followed up with a like, no, that's actually not true. So anyway, here's a great example.
Kim Iverson's the great one.
Yes,
and this one's right. Worse because the Jew lady here, the second he starts talking about schools, just starts
we're
nodding
Jews
like,
here,
yeah, that's right, which makes it seem like he's giving a very valid answer.
Yes, that's a good point. That is a good point. Okay, let's play this clip. It's going to be a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. But so here's the question. By the way, a good question. But here's the question, and here's Fauci's answer.
So appreciate what you're saying, doctor, about the moving target. At the same time, there were authorities that made different decisions than the CDC's recommendations, for example, on school closures, and they did not see higher levels of child mortality when it comes to COVID. And meanwhile, the schools that did close down were now seeing just disastrous levels of learning loss among poor children, children of color, mental health crisis. I wonder if you would recommend locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
Well, you know, again, it's first of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down. You're asking me questions. You're talking about the CDC is the public health agency that uses their epidemiologists and their science-based approach to make recommendations. Clearly, whenever you close schools,
pause.
They're
sure.
All right. I were they recommendations? Was that it? The CDC's whatever made recommendations, and that was the beginning and end of government mandates, was recommendations from the CDC? It feels like it was a lot more than that, and it feels like
Fauci... he's saying is that he goes, they just made recommendations, and then the politicians did what they did. But what was really the most stark thing that he said there is, I never recommended shutting down anything. Go back, pull it back a little bit, Brian, because I want to get... Oh, and you know what? Actually, don't, because the next video we're going to have will have this in it as well. Sorry, you don't need to do that. But that was... We're going to take a second and really dissect that apart, but let's just play the rest of this video, and then we'll come back to this whole piece.
There are collateral effects that are negative. I have always been well aware of that. And I have always felt, and you go back and look at my statements, that we need to do everything we can to keep the schools open and safe. And by safe means, if you need to wear masks in that, wear masks, get better ventilation, surround the children with people who are vaccinated if a vaccine is available to help protect the children. Again, I have been on the record of saying that. Always try to the best of your ability to keep the children in school, but in a safe environment. Locally, a decision is often made when there is so much infection to close the school, but I would always see that as a last resort. And I have always felt that way.
So look, here's why this is all, oh my God, it's all such bullshit. We'll get into the major fucking claim there that he never recommended shutting down anything. I can't even like explain, but we'll get into that in 1 second. But I can't even explain how insane that is. Like it's almost as if he exists, like someone told Fauci in his mind, he goes, look, you know, the American people who you're talking to right now, none of them existed through the year 2020. So just say whatever you want to say. And he goes, oh, no, I never recommended shutting down anything. Like, really? Motherfucker, you were on TV every day. Every day you were on TV. So, like, let's not pretend for a second. But this thing that he says afterward, let me take on that, and then we're going to play this other video, which really just will demonstrate exactly what we're talking about. This idea of going like, well, no, I never said close down schools, but that's a last resort. And then he says, obviously, I know, I was aware the whole time of the negative outcomes that could come from this. Look, man, I know it's 2022 right now, but do you remember 2020? You weren't even allowed to talk about the negative outcomes. Like, you weren't even allowed to talk about the fact that there were actually costs to this policy. It was just your anti-science led by this motherfucker, that you're anti-science, that you just want to get a haircut, that you're so selfish, you just want grandma to die. No one was talking about, this is just schools, but the idea that you could even like recognize that there were other costs associated with shutting down schools. And when he says, look, as long as, you know, he goes, it's a last resort. You know, I was the one saying, look, we got to have them masked up. Well, the masks don't fucking work. And we fucking know that now. And then even if you, you know, if you're going to say the N95 masks work or something like that, it was never a plausible thing that fucking little kids were going to be wearing N95 masks and wearing them properly and keeping them on all day. That's just absurd. And then to say, oh, well, they needed better, better filtration systems. And you're like, yeah, but that's not just so easy to just build into a fucking school, right? Like, that's nice to say, oh, we need better ventilation. Okay, fine. But like, that's not like that easy to actually just do tomorrow in a school building, if you know what I'm saying. And then to say, oh, and keep all of the adults vaccinated around them. And you're like, okay, but we're really, with the school closures, what you're talking about was really from March of 2020 through like early 2021, which is before the vaccines were available. So the vaccine conversation has nothing to do, really. I mean, there were still some schools closed after that, but that's certainly doesn't at least cover the first like around year of schools being closed. So this is all bullshit. None of this like fucking means anything. Are you for the schools closing or not? Anyway, let's play the next video with a side by side, just to show that. And I really think if we're talking about the trial of Anthony Fauci, here's a little sneak preview. It is, if any of you think that it's just that this guy got this wrong. And I know most people listening to this show aren't under that impression, but I want to give you the tools to make sure you can go argue to anybody else and fucking convince as many people as possible to understand what fucking monsters are the people who rule over us. Let's play the next video.
I wonder if you would recommend locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
Well, you know, again, it's first of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down. You're asking me questions. You're talking about the CDC is the public health agency that uses their epidemiologists and their science-based approach to make recommendations.
It was a decision to make a recommendation to the president. It wasn't my decision that I could implement. And when it became clear that when we had community spread in the country with a few cases of community spread, this was way before there was a major explosion like we saw in the Northeastern corridor driven by New York City metropolitan area, I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
I wonder if you would
All right. So in one clip there, he's saying, And by the way, we don't need just one clip. He was on TV every day recommending this. But in one clip, he goes, I never recommended shutting anything down. And there you have Fauci saying, I recommended to the president that he shut the country down. So that is, I think the country would fall into the category of anything. And I'm sorry, this is not like something that... maybe it slipped his mind. You'd think if someone ever was like the head epidemiologist, you know, in charge of the pandemic response team, and you ever recommended to the president of the United States that he shut the United States of America down, that probably wouldn't slip your mind. You know what I'm saying? Like you'd probably be aware.
Especially if you kept pushing it all the way up until 6 months ago and saying, hey, listen, people are going to die and I'm the Lord of science and you have to listen to me. You have to take this seriously. I mean, it's all the way up until 6 months ago when they were still like, he was still trying to push masks and just he lost all the lawsuits. So he couldn't.
He was telling us as of Christmas 2021 that we couldn't celebrate Christmas. He was telling us, you know, let alone Christmas of 2020, you know, so the idea now, this is what drove me crazy about Robbie and that lady. Just like, you can't, you know, I'm sorry. I know you want to be respectful. And this is the problem that I think a lot of people who, once they start getting these big interviews have, and once they start getting these jobs have, is that you're like, oh, it's so cool that we got Fauci and we want to get him again. And we want to get important people again. And then we'll have this really big show and all of this. And I understand that that's intoxicating. and that you're like, yeah, this is great. We got, but to let him say, to let Anthony Fauci say that he never recommended anything be shut down. I mean, look, we just play this one clip right there to be like, look, here's a clear example. But it's not like there's one. You could come up with 100. He was on TV every fucking day. Every day recommending throughout 2020, every day recommending that we lock down everything. Don't tell me for a second that this guy can get away with going in there and saying, I never recommended that. I never said anything like that. It's just that is it. It's some like next level Orwellian shit. You know, we were never at war. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I know I said that yesterday. What are you talking about? Who ever said anything like that? That was like I was blown away to see that, blown away to see them let him say that. And not just like as soon as he said that, I thought like someone's going to interrupt. Someone's going to like be like, whoa, I'm so, you know, and you don't have to do it like me. Like, you don't have to be like, you know, Dave Smith about it. Like, you could be like, sir, with all due respect, you know, you are on record recommending this many times. That didn't happen. And the other thing I was kind of blown away by is just that, like, oh, wow, he like. It's really something to see him try to distance himself this much from the lockdown regime. The face of the lockdown regime. I'm not exaggerating here, right? Like, we all lived through 2020 together. Me and you have seen Fauci on TV in 2020 a lot of times. This is on the level of George W. Bush saying, I never supported the war in Iraq. Like, right. It's literally on the level of him going, wait, what? Saddam Hussein? I never had a problem with that guy. What are you even talking about? Didn't you say he had weapons of mass destruction? I never said anything like that. That's what we're looking at right now. And if you ask, like, if you had George W. Bush on your show and you go, sir, do you regret, you know, pushing the invasion of Iraq? And he goes, I never pushed the invasion of Iraq. And you go, okay, next question. But like, that's not a tough interview, man. That's not what you're supposed to do. I know you could say you asked the first tough question, but you have to respond to that with being like, sir, are you kidding me right now? Like, you can be respectful if you want to, but you have to like follow that up with something. And they didn't. They really didn't. It was unbelievable to see.
Fauci's running faster for the exits than, you know, burn victims on a house on fire. He's
like, look, listen, let me tell you about those policies. I'm an old man. Okay.
I had nothing to do with them.
I don't remember. Sometimes my grandkids come and I don't know who they are.
Can you imagine if they pulled a Mueller move with him? If they actually got him up there and he just suddenly can't remember anything, we find out they make up some fucking hell story, say he's got more dementia than Biden. That would be incredible.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the fucking move that they're going with. I don't know. He is, like you said, he's running for the exit. That's the perfect.
I never made these policies. Who would tell you not to go to school? Go to school. That's important. School's that's where I learned all this science.
Oh, of course. Yes. It's horrible for kids to not go to school. I don't know. Maybe wear a mask. Maybe don't. You know, they asked him at one point in the interview what his if he could go back, if he would do anything different.
Well, he never did anything. I don't even know why we paid him. I don't know why he had the salary he had, because he never did anything.
Well,
2 years
said,
being it wasn't him.
What he said was, oh my God, it was so infuriating. And of course, they just don't ask him any follow-up questions. But he basically said, he goes, well, if I knew what I knew then, I'd do everything the same. But if I knew what I knew now, there's a lot of different things. And he goes, one of the things we know now is that natural immunity actually wanes over time. And that's also true for the vaccine. So he says it like that,
Right.
He goes, oh, we didn't know natural immunity would wane. And that's also true for the vaccine. And you're like, oh, right. Okay. So it's not that you would like that. You just slipped that in there. Like that's the kind of like, you know, secondary point. But like, okay, fine. Even if you're going to say that, okay, fine. The natural immunity is still way stronger than the vaccine. And then he goes, and also we thought that the cloth masks worked.
Even this claim that you just said from Fauci that they didn't know that natural immunity waned over time. Firstly, that's recognizing natural immunity, but they actually did know that. You can go check out Run Your Mouth. I played a clip of Deborah Birx with Jim Jordan, and she said that they had evidence from South Africa prior to the release of the vaccine that people in South Africa were getting reinfected. So even that statement from that you just made from Fauci, what he didn't know, they did know. That was stated right by Deborah Birx a month ago in a congressional hearing. And there's no way she would have known that and Fauci wouldn't have.
Right. Yeah, 100%. And then the idea that it's like, oh, well, now that we know that the cloth masks don't work, what we would have done was push the N95 masks. Like, just the idea that that would have even been practical to, like, push... Really, you're going to push like little kids wearing and you N95 get a hold of
them.
Masks?
I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, yeah, you yeah, weren't going to get a hold right. of them.
Yeah, that's it. It's just it was unbelievable the stuff that he was able to get away with saying there. So anyway, that's
and then this dumb bitch, peek, excuse my language, a little sneak peek
to the trial of Anthony Fauci. Go ahead.
Excuse my language, but she goes, "Oh, look, he agrees with me that children should be in school and that this was bad." This is, I didn't realize he was just going to agree with me. This is an even better interview than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just to let him off the hook like that is just fucking, I don't know. I just think it's awful.
Hopefully the internet gets after this and actually cuts like really good clips of him specifically talking about the problems with schools being open.
Well, we just played one of them, but yeah, there could be a whole lot more. Like, I mean, the fact that he would say, I never recommended shutting anything down. Anything? You recommended shutting everything down. Holidays, businesses, schools, transportation, like everything, you know, man, I'd love to get a great compilation. Like that was just one example. I'd love to get just a, you know, you could just start with that statement from him and then run for like an hour after it. Okay. All right. Let's get into a little bit of this fun about the crazy world that we fucking live in. So I don't even know what to say, Rob. I don't know what to say. All right. Let's go to the first video, Brian, and we'll fucking talk about the world.
You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-cop.
He sounds like...
You can't
like
be pro-insurrection and pro-democracy. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-American. Donald Trump lacked the courage to act. The brave women and men in blue all across this nation should never forget that.
I don't know, Rob. I think one of his eyes was looking at me, one was looking at you. I don't know what's going on here.
It's Home Alone in the... And keep the change, you filthy animal. And dude. What's...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say what's most incredible is you would think that someone edited together like the flubs. Like, in other words, that you would think that Biden was talking for a full hour and then someone cropped the flubs to make him look like an idiot. No, that was what he tweeted. And that looks like a CGI replication of a madman. Like, if you wanted to do the cartoon of the end of the world of the guy who got us into a nuclear war, that is the character that you would write.
Thank you for making that clear. Joe Biden. All right. Let me restate that. Whoever runs that old senile man's Twitter tweeted this video out. Like, this is what they wanted out there. Him. He looks a decade older than he was last time you saw him. He does not blink through the whole time. His two eyes are looking in different directions. It's just, I don't even know. I didn't even pay attention to what he fucking said. You can't be pro-democracy or pro-American if you're pro-insurrection, whatever. Holy shit. What the fuck was that? The idea that take is what they wanted to tweet out. Like, what were the other options? And by the way, another option was just not tweeting that, was just not trying to fucking amplify that.
They were like, this and will that... win them over.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It was a COVID fever dream. That's what they're going to tell us.
All right. We now if we're in a different trial here where someone's trying to convince you that we're living in a simulation that can't possibly be real because it's too stupid, or we're living in, you know, I don't know. What's the name of the movie that I fucked up before when I said Idiocracy? If we're living in Idiocracy, okay, here's, we got two more for you. Let's move to the next one.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion about some of the most pressing issues of our time. I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
Wait, what?
It's funny every time.
I don't know. How did, when, like, this woke shit really does just, it's like it turns people into third graders.
This is what I assume.
Like, it's, this is, I have a, I have a 3.5 year old and a 10 month old. My baby will be 10 months old in a couple days. And sometimes I'll read to both of them. Like, we sit on this big chair we have upstairs, and I was reading the other day, like, a Spot book. You know the Spot books?
The Spot Run. I still read them. It's a classic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. You can learn a lot from those books. And they're a little bit childish for my daughter, but, you know, she understands that I'm reading, like, a book that the baby can get into. So she's kind of like, oh, yeah, this is nice for the baby. She, you know, she used to be into the books, but she could kind of go for something a little more. She's like, come on, my books are a little more advanced than this. But that's literally the level that the vice president is talking to you. I mean, she prefaces it with by saying, we're going to talk about some of the most pressing issues of our day. And then she goes, I am a woman, she, her, in a blue suit. Like, if you said this for my 3.5 year old, I'd be like, this is, we're really kind of dumbing this down for the 10 month old right now. You know what I mean? Like, this is, she could handle something a little more advanced than this. Let's go, she, her, in a blue suit. Okay, let me guess. I don't think you're going to solve any of those issues at this meeting. I don't think you're going to even tackle them. What do you say? I don't know, Rob. What do you say about this?
Oh, I just figured that the people in the room must be blind. And so that's why she has to go. Listen, we're going to solve these really important things, but I want to let you know that I'm a woman, and I want to let you know I picked out a nice outfit today. That's the only reason why you would have to tell a room full of adults prior to an important meeting your outfit and your gender.
Do you think it almost seemed to me like this might have been the case there? Because I go, Rob, why would she have said in a blue suit? Here's what I think. Here's my conspiracy theory.
Oh, she wants to be president, and Biden couldn't do that. If you put him on the spot before a meeting to tell you what color his suit is or what his gender is, he'd fail that test. So she's trying to go, look, I got, that's what's going on. Insurrection.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think. I think this shit is so stupid that even Kamala Harris had a moment of recognizing how stupid this was, how stupid it is to say my pronouns are she, her, that she went, and I'm wearing a blue suit. like she was almost going like, yeah. And like she said, my pronouns are she, her. And then some part of her brain went, yeah, which is the most obvious fucking thing ever. And also the sky is blue. And, but you know what I'm saying? Like she almost like just recognized, she got lost in the moment and recognized and wanted to almost make a joke about it. And go, oh, yeah, and here's something else obvious. Also, my hand has 5 fingers. Okay. Well, anyway,
lost
let's get
in
on.
The character of someone so stupid that they need to announce these things.
I think she almost in her mind was mocking how dumb it was that she said that. Like, wanted to, like, she was searching for some levity to break the moment of how stupid it is that I have to announce that before. Look. Even if I was the most, like, if I was the most eager person to let any trans person who's listening to the show know that I'm on their side and I'm with them and I totally support the whole agenda and all of this, if I were to start a show by being like, what's up, everybody? I'm Dave. My pronouns are he, him. You know, hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dave. I'm a guy, by the way, if you hadn't picked up on that already. But there would be a part of me that would feel like this is so stupid and unnecessary to say. It's so obvious just from looking at me and hearing me and the way I fucking just opened this conversation. There's no, and I think she had a moment like that. And she went, she just went like me going like, hey, I'm Dave. And in case anyone didn't notice, I'm a dude. Also, the shirt's gray and let's get into this. And literally just did that. That's my, my guess on what happened there, but I might be wrong, but I think,
I hope maybe this becomes the new format that every meeting you just got to get like that. Like I just, guys, before we start, I'm a guy. You know, maybe you tell them the time of day, tell them the kind of room that you're in. It's square. Yeah. There's oxygen here. You'll be able to breathe.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's Dave. I'm a guy. This is my nose and this is my ear. You guys still with me? You guys still
talking out of my mouth for this meeting? If that's going to work for you guys.
Okay. Okay. Quarter two profits dipped a little bit before. Then you got to like get into a really serious thing.
Right.
Okay. So here's the state of it. Okay. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is itrustcapital.com. iTrust Capital. If you've been paying attention to what's going on today, you may have noticed there's this little thing with inflation. Some of us have been predicting this for a long time, but now everybody knows that it's here. The dollar is being devalued, and this is why more people are interested in precious metals and cryptocurrency than ever before. Every week in the news, you can see something about crypto, something about precious metals, and more than that, you can see something about inflation being out of control. The smartest investors are investing with their IRA and 401k retirement accounts, and the easiest way to do that is with iTrust Capital. All iTrust accounts are IRAs, which means you can invest and trade your crypto and your gold tax-free on their 24/7 platform. If you have an existing IRA or another retirement account like a 401k, you can roll those over with no penalties and no taxes. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log on to your account 24/7 and invest at the push of a button. Now crypto can be traded as easily as stocks, no keys, no complex process. iTrust Capital also makes investing in physical gold and silver easy. iTrust uses a blockchain ledger that gives you digital ownership over physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. This is not you owning a security or a derivative or some other contract. This is fully backed by physical gold that is deliverable upon request. And the best part of all, iTrust Capital has low transparent pricing that is 90% cheaper than their comparable options. So if you're looking for an IRA to trade crypto or precious metals tax-free, go to itrustcapital.com. Use the promo code POTP. That'll get you your first month free. Plus, you're going to get a free crypto IRA and a gold IRA investor's guide. So one more time, go to itrustcapital.com. Use the promo code POTP. You'll get your first month for absolutely free, and you're going to receive a crypto IRA and a gold IRA investor's guide at no cost to you. If you're interested in learning more about iTrust Capital, I recorded a short conversation with the CEO of the company. He was a great guy. He really explained what they do. Go check that out over at the Gas Digital sponsor page, itrustcapital.com, promo code POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's go to the next one. As if this wasn't bad enough, here are these, the president and the vice president, these two retards. Here is their head economic advisor speaking about the inflation crisis.
Our economy is more resilient to the types of challenges that we faced. For example, you know, with respect to food, we're a net exporter of agricultural commodities, and obviously the high prices are hitting Americans very hard. But in a way that is different from some places that are facing famine, for example.
He didn't really say that.
Yeah,
no, I didn't catch that one. That can't. He didn't really just say.
Yeah, hey, Rob, listen. We're living in this. Yeah. No, what is there? What's your confusion here, Rob?
I can't imagine that his argument is, listen, not only is it not a recession coming, but don't, like, the inflation you're looking at, it's annoying, but, like, other places are starving to death. So at least you're not starving to death. And by the way, I'm actually admitting to the fact that there is a food problem. And so you guys should be happy about the fact that there is some amount of food here, even if it's
and
more
also
expensive.
We're exporting food. So just so you know, a lot of the food we have here, we're sending overseas to other people. But, like, I don't know, dude, are you in
that
a famine? So
I can't be so as pissed
what?
To feel
oh,
better.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. You're paying a little bit more for your food. Sure. You have to choose between gas or food. Boo hoo. Other people are starving to death. So, yeah.
Yeah,
how
but
about
I want to just compare this to 7 months ago before you decided to get into a war with Russia. Because if I compare it to then, it seems like we had the resources and the food. So
no.
Instead,
but even back then, other people were suffering through famine. So, Rob, come on. You can't compare it to what we had 7 months ago. You got to compare it to sub-Saharan Africa, where people are starving to death. Come on. You know that. You know that's the fair comparison. Look, the last three clips we played, I mean, I don't know what to say. It feels like if you can remember a time when Saturday Night Live was still funny, it feels like that's what we're living through. Like you're like, oh, this is a sketch and it's hilarious. And it would be hilarious if it wasn't what we were actually living through. It's too bad. It's too bad that it is. All right. That's where we're going to wrap today's show. I got nothing else. This is just, I have to show this to you. It was fucking, oh, we have one more? What's the one more, Brian? All right, fucking one more. Let's do it. I forgot we have one more.
Because she would never do it, but she's a hell of a doctor. She's an amazing doctor.
She's a doctor and
PhD.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I think she's a teacher, but, you know.
There you go. All right. Yeah, that's it. Whoopi Goldberg has evidently, it's really pretty unbelievable that she'd sit there and go, Jill Biden should be the Surgeon General. This is how much these people who talk on TV for a living don't even pay attention. They're just like, I don't know. Yeah, I've heard the thing about how she's a great doctor so many times that, yeah, I think she'd be a Surgeon General. She's an incredible doctor. And they go, she has a doctorate in education. And then the other dumb fucking clucking hens on The View had to correct her. And she goes, oh, yeah, I guess that's not. No, yeah, I guess that's wrong.
Well, I guess comparatively, if Biden is qualified to run the country, then Jill is qualified to run NASA. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she should be the Surgeon General. You know what? When you put it that way, I agree with Whoopi. I think Whoopi was right. There you go. All right. We're going to have to wrap up on that one. Thank you guys very much for listening. I'll see a bunch of you guys out in Orlando for Young Americans for Liberty Revolution 2022 coming up in just about a week now. Rob, what do you got coming up?
Check out the Run Your Mouth podcast. I'm at home, so I'm putting out a whole bunch of those. And then Summer Porch Tour all August. Got a bunch of locations, including Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, Maryland, D.C., farm, really nice farm out of Michigan, and I think there's one other date. So go to Robbie the Fire event. Yeah, robbiethefire.eventbrite.com. You can see it all right there. Grab some tickets.
Fuck yeah. And of course, everybody, if you love this show, go subscribe to Gas Digital Network and use the promo code POTP. If you want to help us out, that's the way to do it. Go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, subscribe, use the promo code POTP. They're about to raise the prices, but if you come in right now, you get grandfathered in and you get a discount from the regular price anyway. Gasdigitalnetwork.com, promo code POTP. You get access to all of the shows on the network, plus our entire library on demand, years of our show I think if you guys are new listeners, you'll really enjoy going back and listening to some of our older stuff. So please go do that. That's a great way to support the show. Thank you guys very much for listening. That's it for today. Catch you next time. Peace.